Web hosting for Lowdown Radio is provided by HostGator.com. Use the code LOWDOWNRADIO and receive $9.94 off your next hosting package. Eat up the competition at HostGator.com. You're listening to The Lowdown.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Lowdown. This is episode 15 of The Lowdown. Today is Sunday, January the 30th. 2011, and I am joined on this crisp, cold evening by my boy Bobby Rogue. Bobby, welcome to the Lowdown.
How can I manifest this man called Bobby Rogue?
But you say, how can I masturbate to this man named Bobby Rogue?
No, I will repeat myself. How can I manifest this man called Bobby Rogue? Listeners, send me a tweet and let me know.
That's at Bobby Rogue on Twitter.com. All right, so let's get into the lowdown. It's been kind of a crazy week, a lot going on. Bobby's got a lot of good stories to talk about, and let's start out with the movies that came out this week. So at the theater this week is The Mechanic, starring Jason Stratham, Ben Foster, and Donald Sutherland. We also got The Right, starring Colin O'Donoghue. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, but most importantly, Hannibal.
Hannibal Lecter, that's right. Anthony Hopkins. We also got Beautiful, starring Javier Bardem, which I didn't know he was an Oscar winner.
Oh, Bardem is. And Carlos's favorite movie, Nada But Prada.
Dude, I'll tell you what. I ain't going to lie. I was like, Nada But Prada, this looks kind of lame. And then I saw the trailer. I was like, doesn't look too bad. Kind of a chick flick that I actually might want to watch. So, Bobby, talk to me about any of these four movies. Are you going to take a look at any of them?
I am probably going to look at Hannibal, Internet world, you know that I love to screen 3 to 4, maybe 5 movies a week. This week I did not because I was on a special assignment that Carlos sent me to. But I will definitely check out Hannibal's movie. Not About Prada looks to be like a nice indie that's going to make some noise in early 2011. Definitely am not going to see anything with Jason, just due to the fact that I don't like his style. The last time he did anything good was in the Italian Job. But keep it up, buddy. I got my fingers crossed for you that some good script will come your way.
Yeah, if I was actually going to watch any of these movies, probably The Right. I mean, I did go to the movies the other day, and I got to see Black Swan, and I saw the movie posters for The Right, and I thought that looks kind of cool. But I don't know. From Prada to Nada seems like it's something that'd be good for like a Netflix queue when it finally comes out on DVD. Kind of reminded me a little bit of, I don't know if you remember the movie Mi Familia. But it kind of chronicled, this whole Latino family, and this is a little bit different. It's more of a modern kick to it. You've got these two chicks that are more Americanized than anything, and then trying to make it back in more of a Latino American world. So I don't know, looked all right. I was actually a little bit surprised that I liked the trailer. Plus, my boy Fez is in it, so got to check out to see what he's talking about since he's trying to play a homeboy in that movie. So. All right, coming out on DVD this week, you got Red, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest.
Uh-oh, that's a good one. They should have not remade them. They should have kept them in their origin country. That is my opinion, but that's fine. If they want to bust out the Hornet's Nest, let them bust it out.
So talk to me a little bit about that movie. I saw it actually came out on DVD, and it's already on Netflix and on instant streaming on Netflix. So what do you know about that movie?
It's a trilogy, man. It starts off with, I'm sure you've heard of it, the girl with the dragon tattoo. Huh. That's part of the trilogy.
Right.
So basically it became a huge, huge foreign hit, one of the biggest foreign hits in the history of cinema. And lo and behold, here comes American cinematographers, and they decided that they are now going to recreate that movie that should have never been recreated in the first place. It will be starring... 007.
Oh, really?
To a theater near you.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I hadn't heard of that one before. Then of course you got Glee season 2 and MASH season, I believe it's season 1 that's out there. So I know you're a big what do they call it? Glee geek, or
I like it, man. I like the Glee music. I watch it for the music. I'm sorry. I think sometimes the music that the Glee cast covers is actually better than the original music that previous artists have created. So yeah, I like Glee. Woo! I can, as a manly man, admit that. And actually was standing up and clapping when Kurt won his Golden Globe nod a couple weeks ago. Good shit, Kurt.
Cool. So, you know, not a lot going on this week in the movies. So let's move on to our Netflix queue. Bobby, talk to me a little bit about what's in your instant stream this week.
Well, you know, Bobby Rogue likes his women, and I like the golden age women. So got a Breakfast at Tiffany's by the beautiful Audrey Hepburn. Actually, just commissioned an artist to paint me a portrait of her for my art collection. And Breakfast at Tiffany's, one of the, you know, great movies, starring, like I said, Audrey Hepburn, but also George Peppard, later known as Hannibal in the A-Team series.
Oh, so you're talking about the original Breakfast at Tiffany's then?
Oh yeah. Not talking about that stupid song.
That's funny. All right, in my queue, I actually I had Inception on DVD, and I actually watched it last night, which was a, you know, pretty trippy movie. I mean, everybody had been talking about it and how crazy it was and what a crazy story it was, and I finally got a chance to peep it out, and definitely had me thinking about it. Definitely had me thinking how, you know, certain things were going down, and they left it wide open for a second one. So it's gonna be interesting to see if they actually come out with a part two to Inception. Bobby, did you take a look at Inception?
I saw it. I am going to have to screen it again sober. The dreidel left me in awe. Was it reality? Was it not reality? Did the building fall? Did the building not fall? I don't know.
Yeah. And then on my
dreidel, they made it out of clay.
And then in my instant queue, I've got Legendary with, lo and behold, John Cena. I heard kind of mixed reviews about this movie, and it was real quick to be at the movies, and then it came right out into DVD. And I heard it's one of those touchy-feely kind of good movies, and just had it kind of sitting there in my queue, so I'm going to check it out and report back on the lowdown and let you guys know how it came out.
I did hear that, John Cena actually was pretty decent as an actor, so yeah, I might have to follow suit and queue it up.
Yeah, you have to check that out, and we can talk about it next week. So let's move on to our main topics, and Bobby's been itching to talk about this all week long. So the Oscars nominations came out this weekend. Of course, Lowdown Radio is there, and we got our official press release from the what do they call them, the
Oscar Academy that rejected us to go to the Oscar Awards this year.
Yeah, we got right from the Academy Awards itself. So let's talk a little bit about the Oscars. Let's start out with actor in a supporting role. You got Christian Bale for The Fighter, John Hawkes for Winter's Bone, Jeremy Renner for The Town, Mark Ruffalo in The Kids Are All Right, and Jeffrey Rush in The King's Speech. Bobby, talk to me about who's taking home the Oscar for this supporting role.
Well, you know what? It's looking to me that Hollywood is trying to groom Jeremy Renner from The Town. But I also like Mark Ruffalo because I think he's paid his dues a lot more. But, you know, this is what I'm going to say. Jeremy Renner, better luck next year. I hope Mark Ruffalo wins it. But I think Jeffrey Rush is going to take it from The King's Speech.
Yeah, everybody's been talking about The King's Speech and how awesome it is. Have you seen that movie yet?
Yeah, I saw it. It's cool. You know, it's a you know, genre, you know, film. You know, follow suit from last year. What was that movie called again? Oh my god, I can't believe it. It was about one of the young queens. Oh, Queen Elizabeth. Do you remember the name of that film?
Yeah.
So it follows like kind of like in those storylines where one movie got popular and then the other one became popular. So, you know, was it, you know, I liked it, but I was kind of like, you know, it just kind of followed in suit with the Elizabeth storyline. So I wasn't really thinking, you know, oh, it's an original film. I tend to think those are like copycats. You know, one movie was buzzing in Hollywood, so the next year they make another one. So you know what? They're saying that in Oscars in general, the King's Speech might, wrap it up. You know, might even have a trifecta going this year. So if they do, you know, good luck to them. 2010 was a horrible year for film. So, you know, if you take a genre like that, you know, with a respectable cast, you know, respectable writing, director, producer, I think they should win. So, Mark Ruffalo, I am rooting for you. Jeffrey Rush, if you win it, all right, fine.
Cool. So let's talk about actress in the supporting role. We have Amy Adams in The Fighter, Elena Bonham Carter in The King's Speech, Melissa Leo in The Fighter, Haley Steinfeld in True Grit and Jackie Weaver in Animal Kingdom. Bobby, talk to me about who your pick is for best actress in a supporting role.
All right, man. If it doesn't go to this person, I am personally naked going to boycott the Academy the next day. Haley Steinfeld is my pick. 14-year-old Haley Steinfeld. By the way, previously to being cast in this movie, and may I add, it was the first movie she has ever been cast in, she did a Kmart commercial. She's 14 years old, and she tore that movie apart. Haley Steinfeld, heed the Bobby Rogue warning. You are a nominated Oscar actor now. Do not do any chick flicks. Do not do any bubblegum flicks. Do not do any coke with Lindsay Lohan or any Disney starlets. You are the real deal. I hope she gets the Oscar nod, man. Haley Steinfeld, you heard it here. She is a future star.
You know, would she be the youngest actress to ever get an Oscar? She's got to be right around there.
Maybe, but oh my God, I can't believe I don't remember her name. What is the vampire show on HBO? Okay, X-Men movie. Who's the chick with the stripe on her hair?
Oh, Halle Berry?
No, is it Rogue?
Oh, yeah, Rogue. Yeah. You're talking about the redhead with the like silver streak, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's Rogue. Yeah, that's Rogue.
Okay, so Rogue from X-Men. I'm sorry, I know I should know this, but that actress, she actually, I believe, may have won the Academy Award when she was 11 years old.
Really?
Yep, for The Piano or The Pianist, if my memory serves me right, less than a decade ago.
So you bring up a good point about Haley. So she's 14. She's just first real film, or first only film, and she's already already nominated for an Oscar. Is this a recipe for disaster for this young woman here?
You know, I've been following her closely on TMZ. She's been out in public. It looks like she's being groomed to be a Hollywood starlet. I think she's the real deal. As long as her publicist and her agent and her manager keep her away from the Disney bubblegum crap and to keep putting her in real roles like Dakota Fanning, I think she's going to make it. She's not a teen actor. I mean, if you watch this movie, it's not teen acting. She outdid the adults. I mean, she was the real deal. Mm. So everybody else, I recommend go check out True Grit. That was my favorite part of the movie. I'm a huge Western country fan. Check her out, man. She is rogue-rific.
All right, so let's talk about performance by an actor in the leading role. We got Javier Bardem in Beautiful.
Yep, Beautiful.
Jeff Bridges in True Grit. Jesse Eisenberg in The Social Network. Colin Firth in The King's Speech. And James Franco in 127 Hours. Bobby, talk to me about your pick.
All right, man. Well, you know, I think that James Franco is the next big thing in Hollywood. I know he's big right now, but he's not like I'm the most beautiful person by People magazine big yet. So I would like to see James Franco win it, but, you know, 127 Hours, it was based on a true story. It was about, you know, that guy who got his hand caught on a rock while he was rock climbing, and he chopped it off so he could escape or else he would have died. James Franco did very, very well by that movie, but the movie was also very graphic. So because it was graphic, you know, maybe that's the last image that was left in, you know, Oscar voters' minds. So again, I'm gonna say, hey, I'd like to see James Franco win it, but I think Colin Firth for King's Speech is gonna take it just because it's King's Speech. And actually, Colin Firth did very well in the King's Speech. Jesse Eisenberg, yeah, he did okay for The Social Network, but I'll talk about it later. I am not down for any movies that just copy some piece of software. So, sorry, .com movies get the Bobby Rogue thumbs down. Mm-hmm. Javier Bardem, you already have Penelope Cruz, so better luck next year, buddy.
All right, let's talk about actress in the leading role. Got Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman for Black Swan, and Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine. Bobby, who is your pick for the best actress?
I saw all those movies, and every single actress did an amazing job. But for the last 15 years, I have been in love with Natalie Portman since I saw her in, well, the original title of the movie is called Leo, or Leon. I believe in America they changed the title because the stupid Americans did that and called it The Professional.
Dude, she was like 8 in that movie.
And so was I. So I'm also a big Star Wars fan, and she did her due diligence with Star Wars. So it's going to go to Natalie Portman. Next time you feel like having sex, you should have called me, because she ended up having sex with the choreographer of that film, and now they're having a baby together. That's another story. I am mad at you, but I will still give you the Oscar nod. I got to give props, though, to Jennifer Lawrence, another very young actress. I think she's going to do it great. And Annette Bening killed it in The Kids Are All Right. In fact, I was only one of 3 people in the theater that night when I watched her film. So, hey, thumbs up for that. But, you know, she'll be front and center. You know, Natalie Portman should win this, but you know what? Annette Bening may take her out.
You know, I saw Black Swan not 2 nights ago, and her performance was, well, the whole movie is kind of weird. You really got to pay attention to kind of what's going on.
This is probably one of the first times that an art house film actually got Oscar attention. And I got to tell you, man, I went to a 10 a.m. at an art house theater, and the place was packed. In fact, they had to assign chairs to seats to people.
Yeah.
So I was assigned 3rd row, seat 1. So I was like right there. And it was a very, very trippy movie, but very real. You know, they did homage to the ballet community, because that's what happens. But if you just think about the arts in general, like, that's what happens. You know, for all our fans, you know, that watched it, you know, when you get the part or when you do something well, what's the first thing you do? You call your mother.
Yeah.
You know, she ran to that bathroom and called her mother. That was real. And what happens once that happens? It just sinks in. You know, I totally saw the eye to eye with this movie. Now you got to come through, and now you start getting a little wacky and a little paranoid. For her, full on meltdown. You know.
Yeah.
But man, you know, and I got thumbs up for her. I hope more films come, you know, to her. More great scripts come to her. She's like in 4 films in 2011. I mean, we're probably going to see her once a quarter. She's in the theaters right now with no strings attached.
Yeah, that movie's doing really well right now.
Yeah, and I believe she's got another one coming out next month.
Yeah. No, she did really good in Black Swan, and to think that an actress that was in Star Wars, and to be honest, her acting wasn't exactly phenomenal in Star Wars, but then again, we are talking about a George Lucas script here. I'm happy that she's coming up. I mean, I've kind of followed her throughout the years and remember her from The Professional and it's definitely from Star Wars. So hoping she wins. I think out of all of them, she's probably my favorite, but we'll kind of wait and see what happens.
Yep.
All right, so let's talk about Best Motion Picture of the Year. We've got a huge, huge pool to pick from here. So we've got Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. Bobby, what is your pick for Best Picture of the Year?
I always love to see underdogs win. So I think it would warm my heart to see The Kids Are All Right win, but I'm not sure if they got too many first place Oscar votes. I'm for sure going to go crazy if Black Swan wins, because that's going to be big for, you know, independent filmmakers, art house filmmakers, you know, the little people of Hollywood that are still trying to make it.
Right.
And man, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. So I think it's going to be between, you know, Black Swan and The Kids Are All Right. Hopefully Black Swan takes it. Everything else, you know, well, The King's Speech may gun for everybody, like I said, and take the trifecta if that's how it goes down. You know, they'll take picture, they'll take actor, they'll take actress, you know. But, you know, I'm hoping that Black Swan, you know, at least gets a nod here. You know, especially since, you know, the Oscar did a dastardly deed of snubbing Mila Kunis for a supporting actress nod.
Yeah, you know, and I, that's funny that you said that. I meant to bring that up during that. I was very surprised that I didn't see her name on the list for Black Swan for supporting actress.
I actually, you know, I guess let's just go. Well, what do you think about Best Picture? And then we'll go into the Kunis factor.
Well, you know, I only saw a few of these. I saw Black Swan. I saw Inception. I saw Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3, to be real honest, I'm really even surprised it's on the nomination sheet for Best Picture of the Year. Not that it wasn't good. I think the fact that it's an animated film kind of works against it already.
Because especially since it's got a nod in the best animated film category.
Right, right. And so, I mean, I think it's going to take that category regardless. That film is awesome, and it really kind of sang to us, especially because a lot of those toys that they were playing with was toys that we played with when we were kids. So, you know, there was some tearjerker moments in that movie. And it was a special movie for me because it was the first movie I took my kids to, and Bobby Rogue happened to be there. So,
it was the first movie you took Bobby Rogue to.
So, but beyond all that, I think it was a phenomenal movie. You know, Inception was really good. It had me at the edge of my seat and kind of wondering what the heck was going on. Black Swan was one of those kind of holy crap kind of movies, like what just happened, and it made you talk about it afterwards, and you know what was real and what wasn't.
And that's what I think makes it, you know, such a great movie, because it burns something in your head that makes a good conversation. I mean, I think right now, like, we can walk up to anybody and, hey, have you seen Black Swan? And all of a sudden start saying, was it me, or were there feathers actually, you know, coming out of her skin, or was that CGI, or was I tripping with that the screen? Such an amazing movie. So,
but the funny part was about Black Swan, and me and my wife were talking about it, where it was, there was a, right when she came out on stage as the Black Swan, like the first time you see her, and she kind of has, or was it there? Or was it when in her dressing room? Anyway, she has an Anakin Skywalker moment. I don't know if you caught it, but there's a, there's a moment where she's raging and her eyes are all red and bloodshot, and and I'm like, dude, what? And I call, even in the theater, I'm like, dude, chill out, Anakin, you know? Cause I swear it was so Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker kind of moment from, Attack of the Clones, where he killed all the sand people. Felt it though, you know, you kind of felt the emotion, and you felt, and when they, the way they did her up and painted her face, and man, she looked, you know, like she became that Black Swan, and it was, you know, I can't really say that for too many movies where it pulls you in like, wow, that she, well, the actor or actress is like that character. I mean, that really is, they personify that, the character that they're playing.
Or even those little pieces that happen in our everyday lives. I mean, how many people were itching in their seats when, you know, she just had a little piece of skin on her finger and how many of us have pulled that little piece and all of a sudden it feels like a paper cut, but she kept going and going and we were all like,
For sure. Yeah. That whole scene was. Or even when she's kind of like was dreaming or something and she had her legs go behind her like a swan. You know, her knees were cracking funny. It was, that whole stuff was crazy. Yeah. So I think Black Swan is up there. I think it's going to get a run from its money from The Kids Are All Right and The King's Speech. I'm not sure The Social Network really has a good chance. Inception might be a sleeper, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to get the pull that it wants.
And, you know, it's kind of weird because now at the end of the year, like, I've had a change of heart because in 2010 I said, hey, look out for The Social Network. It's going to be one of the top movies of 2010, and it was. But I didn't say I wanted it to win an Oscar, you know.
Right.
Dot-com-based movies should win, should even go into categories, because what are we going to do every 6 months? Somebody's going to make a dot-com movie now.
Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the Oscars. We'll definitely report back and see how our picks matched up and see how well we did. So
Or even so, you know, Academy, if you're listening, you know, get it back down to like 5 or 4 movies. There should not be 10 movies, you know.
Really?
Toy Story should not be in that category if it's been, you know, an animated feature. You know, The Social Network, again, I mean, it just drives me crazy. I mean, what am I going to go to the movies in a month and then all of a sudden hear the trailer? You know, when you start hearing dun dun in a world where there's happy people.
Yeah.
Some people, they're not just mad, they're angry. Angry Birds coming next spring. Dude, you know?
And Angry Birds is coming out with a movie.
Are you kidding me? I was just playing.
No, they really are.
Oh my God. That's really what I'm saying. You see what I'm talking about? I mean, one.com does well, and then all of a sudden, here we go. You know, they're going to start busting them out, you know. So,
yep. Yeah, so you'll hear it on the lowdown. We'll watch the Oscars and we'll report back to see how we did. So.
Oh yeah. And let's talk about the Kunis factor. You know, how can you deny Mila Kunis a supporting actress role? Especially she got the Golden Globe nod. I know it's not the same thing, but come on. I mean, the girl went down on Natalie Portman, for God's sake. You know, and not to mention, you know, she may have out-acted Natalie Portman in her short role. I mean, she was good.
Yeah, no, she was really good. And it was such a unique role, especially because she's always Jackie from That 70s Show. And every time I see her, that's exactly what I think of. But, yep. you know, she really, man, she was really good in this movie. And I'm really, really disappointed that she didn't get the nod for Best Supporting Actress. So,
especially my favorite line by Mila Kunis in that movie was when she just looks at Natalie Portman and she's like, did you just have a sex dream about me? Was I good?
Yeah.
And right when I heard that, I was like, that's it. Like, she nailed that line so good.
Yeah. Yeah, like, she did good. She did really good in that role.
Everything was perfect, you know. Mila Kunis, you know, I am not a poet, but I think I want to make up a poem right now as we're talking, because you deserve it, baby. All right, hold on. Let me see. Mila Kunis, you're a superstar. Bobby Rogue would eat you like a candy bar.
You know, I got a feeling that whole scene is the reason why her and Macaulay Culkin broke up. He just couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Hold on. My poem inspiration continues. Mila, screw the haters. What you did was not porn. Bobby Rogue has loved you since your star was born. Ooh, I like that one. Wow, this is all top of my head. Let me see. One more line. Mila, by car or air. Bobby Rogue will always be there. Hugs and kisses.
Wow. All right.
Like that, man. Maybe I should join...
Maybe you should start your own podcast of just your Bobby Rogue poetry.
All right, what do we got next?
All right, so our next main topic of conversation is Battlestar Galactica. And the only reason I put this on there is because I finally finished watching the entire series. And now I have the full spectrum of Caprica and Battlestar to talk about. Right. I know it all now. Bobby, let's talk about Battlestar Galactica. And the first question I got to ask you is, why in the hell did that Cylon, the dude from Quantum Leap, kill himself at the end?
The guy from Quantum Leap?
Yeah, remember the main bad Cylon dude? Remember why did he kill himself?
He failed at his mission. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, ask the question, you know, what was the plan? I mean, a lot of people still say, like, did the Cylons have a plan? Well, it wasn't the Cylons had a plan. A Cylon had a plan, and that was Cavill, who offed himself.
Cavill, yeah.
And his plan was to destroy the human race. He failed, so he knew he was a dead man. He took himself out.
Yeah, I didn't agree with him taking himself out. I just thought that was a dumb, lame way of going out. I don't even know why that's the first thing that popped into my head about the whole last thing. Because to be real honest, the ending of Battlestar was kind of a letdown.
Well, there wasn't a lot of they didn't tie up a lot of ends to it. You know, I'm hoping it's because they decided that they were going to explore it with future series such as Caprica or Blood and Chrome now coming up next fall. But you know, I gotta say, I wasn't a big fan of Starbuck being, you know, now an angel. Some people thought she was the harbinger of death, you know.
And they really didn't tie that up either, because you had two different hybrids, or one hybrid and one semi-hybrid, calling her the harbinger of death. And that wasn't the truth.
The one thing I did like about how they ended, you know, Galactica was... is that at the end of Galactica, you know, you see on, you know, I guess what looks like Times Square or some futuristic, you know, Times Square, that, you know, that there was the discovery of the mitochondrial Eve, which was, you know, Hera.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, and then the whole thing where Adama kind of goes off with the president and she passes away, and he kind of lives out his years in solitude and by himself, and all of a sudden Starbuck disappears, and they really didn't address why, you know, the chief killed the other of the final five. Well, you know why he killed her, because he found out that she killed his wife, but you know, he just kind of snapped her neck, and then it's, you know, everything melted down, and you never heard anything else after that. No one even bothered asking him what the heck happened.
The final five started acting like humans.
Pretty much.
So it was a trip. I mean, I hope they definitely get back into those storylines. Battlestar Galactica still goes down as one of the best pieces of television, you know, in our short television history. Man, I can't wait for Blood and Chrome, because you're going to get me talking for another hour. Why the hell did they cancel Caprica so early? But on a good note, I would like to say that in the entire world, there are two museums that are dedicated to sci-fi, and I was at one of them. And I actually saw a Battlestar Galactica exhibit.
It's So talk to me a little bit. Talk to me a little bit about that exhibit. What did you see yesterday?
All right. So yesterday I woke up and I felt good, and I thought to myself, I want to do something special. So I Googled Bobby Rogue wants to do something special, and it came up Battlestar Galactica the exhibition, October 23rd, 2010 through March 4th, 2012. So I hopped on a plane to Seattle from San Francisco. And I went to the, for short, it is called the EMP/SFM, stands for Experience Music Project Science Fiction Museum, that is actually right across the street from the Space Needle in Seattle, Washington. I went to the Science Fiction Museum part, and it actually had the Battlestar Galactica exhibition. And just so I can rub it in Carlos's face, every 5 minutes I would send him the picture that I shot. So they actually had three full-on models, ships. They had the new Cylon ship, then they had the stealth ship, and then they had a regular Battlestar Galactica, you know, battle pod or whatever the hell they call it. They had a bunch of they had a Viper. They had a bunch of costumes. They actually had the original leader of the Cylons from the original series. They actually had an original Cylon on display. I played with the arrow, the gold arrow that
The arrow of Apollo.
Yeah, I was messing around with that. Could have walked out with it, but I didn't. And they just had costumes, and it was such a great exhibit. And I thought, wow, man, it's going to be in this museum for 2012, which leads me to speculate that it might go on tour, especially if Blood and Chrome does really well. You know, they're going to start going around to places. So
did it have anything about that series coming out?
Oh, no, not on Blood and Chrome. They had like this cool thing that you can either go into this machine and it would end up telling you if you were a Cylon or a human,
right?
Kind of like a tester thing. They didn't talk about Blood and Chrome. They did go. They were video clips, and they had like a little theater portion where they were going deep into the new Battlestar Galactica series. I did see a schedule where every once in a while, actors from both series actually come and sit on a panel, and then the general public is invited in so they can talk. What is BSG?
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool. I don't really need to go to that. It's, as you guys know on a previous podcast, you know, me and the original Apollo are chummy. So. You know, check it out, man. I mean, check out, you know, the EMP/SFM, you know, .org. Actually, I'm going to give you the correct one. EMPSFM.org. Check out the Battlestar Galactica exhibit. It is awesome. Also saw some other cool things, but man, you know, like what a trip to just see that. I mean, I am total Battlestar Galactica junkie. You know, I'm thinking about maybe going to some websites, taking a headshot, sending it. Maybe I can be an extra on one show. I don't know. It is reeks of awesomeness. What did you think of the pictures I sent you?
No, they were good, man. And we'll post a couple of them up on the website so people can take a look at to see what you were talking about. It was cool. I like the models of the Galactica itself and, you know, of course, seeing the Vipers and stuff and the Cylon stuff. It was cool, and especially because they had the old school Cylons, which I thought was kind of cool even in the last of the few episodes of the series when they were fighting aboard the colony ship. They had the original old school Cylons on there, the original Centurions or whatever, which I thought was kind of cool. Nice little Definitely. Little homage to back to the original series. But definitely would love to see something like that. I wish it was closer, and hopefully if maybe it'll travel out here and set up shop over here somewhere in the DC area, and definitely go take a look at it.
I think it should. I think, and you know, one of the sponsors actually is Sci-Fi, so
right.
they should see like, hey, you know what, BSG is popular. You know, if the fans will come out.
But then it does make you wonder why the heck did they even cancel it? You know what I mean?
Well, I know that the original series, the first BSG series, they had always said that, hey, you know, it's going to be, you know, couple of seasons. The second one, you know. I don't think that they have perfected the figuring out, you know, who plays their DVR when and where. And I believe the last time I read up on it is that they only count it if somebody who recorded on the DVR watches it within 5 days or something like that.
Right.
Which sucks because sometimes if I record it on a Monday, I'm not watching it till Sunday. So that means I've already my 5 days has allotted, and then I don't get, you know, count. It doesn't count. So,
That whole thing, and well, I don't know if you knew, and something that I discovered after I finished watching this series was they actually had another episode. Well, not an episode; it was like a TV movie called The Plan, Battlestar Galactica: The Plan.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that one?
Definitely know okay. The Plan. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet, and I've got it coming off of Netflix.
Check it out. I mean, a lot of reviewers hated it because they took a lot of pieces of Galactica series and they put it into The Plan.
But right.
The great thing about The Plan is that it is 100% on the perspective of the Cylons.
Right.
You know? So that's the cool thing, you know. And even though the Cylons looked united during the series, when you watch The Plan, you'll see that, you know, there was a lot of, you know, not so many friendly. They weren't so friendly with each other, I guess is what I want to say.
Right. So overall, Battlestar was good. We definitely enjoyed it. You know, it took a long time, but it had me and my wife hooked. I do have a trivial question for you. Let me see if you can answer it, because I discovered it myself the other day. But tell me which of the Battlestar Galactica actors or actresses is British-born and is currently on the Law & Order UK series.
Okay.
Don't be Googling it.
I'm not Googling it. I just want to know what my prize is. Huh.
Just fame and fortune, courtesy of Lowdown Radio.
Okay. Well, I know I'm okay. Process of elimination. I know it's not the Asian actress because she's on Hawaii Five-O. So I am going to guess, man. You think she's British? Okay. I know it is not the Harbinger of Death because she was on the pilot episode for Aquaman that didn't get picked up. I am going to say, well, no, it's not Trisha Helfner because she's Canadian. And it's definitely not Rosalind because she's American. Man, how many female?
I said male or female, so it doesn't necessarily have to be female.
Oh. Oh my God. Hold on. Okay, who is one of the Cylons? She was the reporter. She was the reporter.
You're talking about Lucy Lawless?
Yeah, Lucy Lawless.
Is that your final answer?
No. Because I think she's from New Zealand. Okay, hold on. Hold on. I think I already named off all the females. Okay, I'm going to pick the Cylon with one eye. Ty's wife. That's my choice.
The Cylon with one eye.
Ty's wife.
And
Who is it?
You would be very surprised to learn, as I was. So I'm sitting in bed and watching BBC One or BBC America the other day, and I was flipping through the guide, and it said Law & Order UK. And me being a big Law & Order fan, especially for SVU, which is my show, I was like, oh, let me check this out to see what it's about. Right, especially, and plus we lived in England, so I thought it would be kind of cool just to hear something again. And me and my wife are looking at it, and we're watching it, and the two detectives walk out, and she's like, hey, that looks like Apollo. And I'm like, holy frack, it is Apollo. So,
you know what's crazy is that I already knew Apollo was British. God damn it, why didn't I answer that?
That's why I'm Carlos, and Bobby Rogue sucks. Anyways.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've known that because I've watched, you know, the making of Battlestar, and you know what's kind of funny, too, is that there are a lot of actors that exist right now that we would not imagine that, you know, that they're Brits or that they're, you know, classical actors, and they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of crazy.
So I looked him up on trusty old IMDb.com, and sure enough, man, he was born in the UK to an American father and a British mother, and lived there most of his life, and went to university at Cambridge and all this stuff. And I'm like, holy crap, he's a Brit. Oh, yeah. No idea that he was a Brit.
Oh, yeah. You know, how about Picard? I mean, Picard is the classical one.
Yeah.
How about the guy who's going to portray Blackbeard, you know, in Pirates of the Caribbean? You know, that's another classical actor.
Yeah. Man, it's just a small world, man. I just had no idea. And, you know, just barely – just watching an episode just randomly, and lo and behold, Apollo was on it.
Yeah. What's his name again? Mark Bamby or something?
No, Jamie Bammer.
Yeah, Jamie Bammer.
Yeah.
Go eat your what do you call those sausages? Your bangers and mash, buddy.
Bangers and mash, they're good, man. Anyway, so moving on to website pick of the week. My pick this week is heardontv.com. So this is a website where if you hear a catchy tune on a TV show and you just can't remember or you don't know what it is, but you want to learn what it is, and that you can go to this website, you can put in the TV show and each of the episodes, it'll tell you which songs were part of that episode. So I thought it was kind of cool. I know it happens to me all the time where I'm like, man, that's a kind of a cool song. I wish I knew the name of it. So I go right up to onto heardontv.com, check it out.
Figure out what. So hold on. So if I just go to this website, what do I do? Do I just do a search for the show?
I'm pretty sure you just search for the show and then it brings up a list of episodes from that show and it'll tell you which songs were part of it.
Oh man, I got to look that up because check this out. I mean, this is one song that I've been looking for and now I'm going to go to the website. I'm glad that you brought that up because, we are in the final season of, Smallville, which will be a future Bobby Rogue episode. And, Hawk, died in one of the episodes, and during his funeral, they had an awesome song, and I cannot find that song for the life of me. Now I'm going to look it up because I want to purchase it from iTunes. And Bobby Rogue's website pick of the week, Macbeth, MacBeth.com. Kind of has to do with arts and entertainment. It's a shoe company. They also do T-shirts. But, man, I went to this site. I bought myself some shoes. I bought the Manchester models. The shoes are awesome. The most comfiest shoes that I have ever worn. It's great to just see another company out there, doing some shoes. But here's another cool thing for you, green people. Their shoes are completely vegan. Little twist. So check out Macbeth.com. Not to mention, I think I'm going to go back to Macbeth.com and I'm going to buy a T-shirt because I love their logo.
Interesting. I'm taking a look at it right now.
Yeah, they got some cool stuff. They've got a guy with a really cool mustache.
All right, everybody. If you'd like to learn more about the Lowdown, you can visit our website at lowdownradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/lowdownradio. Follow Bobby Rogue on Twitter. That's twitter.com/Bobby Rogue. And you can follow me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/Carlos Schriever. Bobby, take us out.
Lowdown Radio. We're a piece of Americana. See ya.
Later, everybody.
This has been a Lowdown Radio production. To listen to all of our shows, please visit our website at lowdownradio.com.